Psalm 89. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel this morning comes from Mark, the 12th chapter. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love God with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared ask him any question. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how can he be his son?" And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. Then a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. In the Gospel of Mark this season, we have followed Jesus from town to town as he recruited disciples, taught and preached, and he astounded many people along the way. In his hometown, he was laughed at. Authorities often mocked him. But he and his disciples just kept going down the road, one foot in front of the other, on the road to Jerusalem. And today, in today's reading, Jesus is once again teaching to the crowds when a scribe of all people approached him and asked a pretty big question. What is the most important commandment? Now, as a good Jew, Jesus would have known the answer to this without hesitation. So Jesus, along with other Jews, would always recite the Shema every morning when waking up and going to sleep. The Shema is a prayer and a creed, and the word means to hear, to listen, and to obey. The Shema is a liturgical keystone for Jews. As a creed and a prayer, it's part of their daily worship, not just in the temple. The Shema comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it affirms the oneness of God and Israel's obligation to love and to obey. So today I thought it would be interesting for us to hear together what this prayer is like that Jesus prayed every morning and every evening from the original Hebrew.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, Bechol Levavcha, Uvechol Nafshecha, Uvechol Me'odecha. Ve'hayu Hadvarim Ha'ele, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha, Hayom al levavecha, Vishinatam levanecha, Vidibarta baham, Bishivtecha, Bivetecha, Uvlechtecha, Vaderech, Uvishochbecha, Uvkumecha, Ukshartam leot al yadecha, Vehayuletotafot, Bein einecha. Uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha.
And now in the English from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and walk about with them when you are home and when you are away, and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign to your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now our Jewish brothers and sisters still recite the Shema morning and evening when they go to sleep and when they rise up. It's no wonder then that when Jesus was asked the question by the scribe, he knew the answer. This was a prayer that he had prayed day and night from the time he was a child. But it seems that Jesus was not just reciting a prayer that he had memorized since childhood. It seemed that his understanding of this had grown as he had grown in wisdom. And then Jesus had the audacity to add to the Shema by saying, it's not enough to just love God. We also need to love our neighbor, which he did not pull out of thin air. He grabbed it from Leviticus chapter 19. So once again, here is Jesus, both simplifying our faith and challenging our faith. In each of the four stories from today's gospel reading, the central issue today is about power. Who is deserving of power and respect and worship? Not King David, that's for sure, and not the power-hungry scribes. As the Shema proclaims, God alone is worthy of worship and respect and power. In one conversation, Jesus laid it out for the scribes and the other authorities listening in that God alone is King. Not such a smooth move if Jesus wanted to stick around for a little while, I suppose. But by now, Jesus had already predicted his death 3 times, while he continued every day to get up and walk 1 step at a time toward Jerusalem. Every morning getting up and reciting the Shema, and every evening doing the same, knowing what his future would be. Why are there so many reminders in the Old Testament and the New Testament about this first commandment, to love God? Why? Well, I think we get distracted, we humans, and we get bored. We like to be entertained. We like to have something new to occupy our minds and our time, and especially things to fill the silence. especially in our technologically advanced era that we're living in now. It seems like we are just simply crushed by information, by the need to stay connected all the time. So I don't know if you're aware, but last Friday was a brand new holiday. It's called National Day of Unplugging. A full 24 hours devoted to being disconnected from technology. It began at sundown this past Friday and ended on sundown last night. This announcement was accompanied by an article that listed 24 things that you can do while you're unplugged. Do we really need suggestions of what to do when we're not connected to our TV and our computer and our cell phones and all those things? Apparently we do. Here's the things. Our brains are wired in a way that all of this activity is something our brains like, right? It's very interesting, but it comes at a cost. We can become a society of people who rarely are able to just be together. We're constantly being connected to this technology, but how hard is it to just be together? Thus, the creation of a new holiday, the National Day of Unplugging, which, interestingly enough, fell on the Jewish Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday evening. If that's not enough, a national food chain found another creative solution. At this restaurant, you can go, and when you order your meal, you get this box to put your cell phones in. Have you heard about this? So you put your phones inside the box after you turn them off. The box actually comes with step-by-step instructions. Step one, turn off your phone and put it in the box. Step two, enjoy your meal. And step three, if you have failed to look at your phones during the entire meal, you let the restaurant know, and they will reward your family with, everyone gets an ice cream. Do we really need rewards for looking one another in the eye and enjoying a meal? Well, we could do that here at church. We could have a box that we all walk in every Sunday, put our cell phones in there, and then, someone would have to come get us a few gallons of ice cream, right? For all of us to remember the days before all of these technologies, it sounds silly, doesn't it? Do we really need a reward for putting down our technology and enjoying a meal with our families and our friends? Apparently we do. And I think God knows that about us too. Throughout human history, there have always been distractions for us in our faith. We get distracted and we forget to love God and love our neighbors. It's like a irritating infomercial, but wait, I want to sell you something interesting and new and pretty cool, and before you know it, we get sucked in to the next big thing. But God says, listen, listen, love me and me alone. And just when we get settled back into that, the infomercial starts up again. But wait, there's more. And again, we're off into another direction. God keeps coming back to us saying, listen, listen, just love me and love others. It's really that simple. This continues throughout our lives until we surrender again and again, turning toward God and remembering what it's all about. It's as if God is asking, are you with me? Are you all in, or are you just hanging out until the next big thing comes along? That's the question I'm asking myself today. Do we bow to the powers of the world, or do we turn to God day and night as we rise up and as we go to sleep as evidence that we are all in? Perhaps our Jewish brothers and sisters have it right, saying a prayer, the Shema, every morning and every evening, so that no matter what distractions come our way throughout the day, it can be a return to God, every day, twice a day, to let God know we are all in.